what I want to talk to you today about is coming to a new mind. I want to talk to you today about what happens to St. John the Beloved. Now, it's interesting, in John's Gospel, John never mentions himself by name. You only know that he is the beloved disciple. I want you to be clued in on something. John calls himself the beloved disciple, but he never names himself. Why? Because if you're prepared to accept it, you are the beloved disciple. There's no point in saying, John, it's you. You're the beloved disciple. Are you ready to make a journey today in faith? So follow with me now. First of all, I want you to notice at the beginning of this gospel today that, first of all, Mary Magdalene and then John are in what we might call reaction mode. Reaction mode. It says here that on the first day of the week, that's Sunday. Anyone wants to know why we're in church on Sundays? Comes right from there. The first day of the week when they found the Lord alive. And it says Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. It says it was early in the morning, and it says it was still dark. Now, you think John's just trying to get you to look at your watch? John has something more in mind. John has in mind that it's still dark. You see, brothers and sisters, coming to a new mind, first of all, means that we've got to be enlightened by Christ. And if we're stumbling around in the darkness of this earth, we're lost. So the Lord wants to give us light to see by. But notice, Mary's not there yet, and John's not there yet. We're going to see that Mary comes to the tomb, and it's still dark. She does not see. She's coming to anoint a dead body. How many of you know that Jesus is not dead? He is not dead. But she's not aware of that yet. We know the story, but Mary isn't aware yet. But church, sometimes we're not aware. We're stumbling around in the dark. We can't see. But remember, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, it says here, it's still dark. And she saw the stone had been rolled back from the tomb. The stone had been rolled back from the tomb. Now, you and I know the story, don't you? Don't we? That means he's alive. But that's not what Mary says. Mary gets into a panic, and she's thinking not resurrection, she's thinking grave robbers. They've taken the Lord, and I don't know where they put him. Jesus, it's enough to say that they crucified him. But now they've taken the Lord, and I have no idea where they've put him. Who are they? They. You know, we always say they this and they that. They say it's okay. They say, just remember, it's all about the Lord. Amen. And so she says, they've taken the Lord and I don't know where they put him. So she's running around in a panic. It says that she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's you. You said, oh, that's John. No, that's you. That's you. Are you praying about that? So Mary Magdalene has just run to Peter and to you. And it said, they have taken the Lord, and I don't know where they put him. Now, guess what? Panic is contagious. Have you ever noticed? If you're running around in a panic, pretty soon you've got all kinds of other people running around in a panic if you're not careful. And sure enough, Peter and John now are in a panic. And you know what they start doing? Mary's running. They start running. They're running out to the tomb. I said, they're running, church. And they're all thinking, oh, no. Disaster upon disaster. He's not only been crucified, but now they've stolen the body. What else can go wrong? Ever been there? And so it is that, they're running around in a panic. But brothers and sisters, you see, sometimes our sorrows and our fears can blind us. We can't really see very well. But you got to know something. The rolled away stone from the tomb does not indicate grave robbers. It indicates resurrection, but they're not there yet. Are you? Now, you might say, oh, yeah, I know the story, Father. I'm not talking about the story 2,000 years ago. How about some of the stuff in your life right now that you think, man, this isn't so good? I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Church, have you ever thought that you could think a little differently about some of the things in life? For example, this last week I did my taxes. I don't mean to get anyone too anxious if you haven't done them yet. It's coming. But you know, I got to say something. Paying taxes is a bummer, but I want you to know something, church. You know, paying taxes is an indication that I have some income to be taxed. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but when the alarm rang this morning, I said, really, Lord? That already? we were up a little late last night, some of us in the choir, and we were up kind of late last night celebrating the Easter Vigil here in the church, and it was a little it was long past 11 before we left. Go to bed, and all of a sudden the alarm's ringing a lot sooner. But church, I had to grumble and I had to complain, but church, I had the strength. I say I had the strength to get up this morning. And so I can either decide to focus on the alarm clock and not feeling like I want to get up, or I can say, thank you, Lord, I've got the strength. I can either focus on the taxes, or I can focus on the income that's being taxed. You see, you can decide what you want to focus on in life. Amen? You can decide. You know, I will say that I'm a little bit bummed out that I kind of carry a little extra weight, but I will say this, thank you, Lord, I'm apparently well-fed. I want to say thank you, Lord. And it sticks to my ribs real well. But I can focus on the burden or I can focus on the blessing. But you can decide what to focus on in life. Now, they're running out to the tomb to investigate the stolen body of Jesus. And they're wrong. It's not about a stolen body. It's about resurrection. But again, I ask you, the struggles and the trials and the setbacks in your life, church, sometimes we're not aware, but God is opening a door. Sometimes you just don't know. You may be in a little bit of trouble right now, but God's preparing you for something that you can't handle right now, and he's getting ready to open a door for you, and you'll be able to look back and to see it. But church, you got to decide what you're going to focus on. But right now, John, the beloved disciple, that's you. Peter and Mary Magdalene are running around in a panic. You know what they're focusing on? Grave robbers. What grave robbers are you focusing on? All bent over, not looking up and seeing the risen Lord, but all bent over and worried about worldly things that are going to go away anyway. So church, that's the vision of this first section. Notice again, first of all, they're in reaction mode. But I want you to next notice that John, you, starts to recover. I said he starts to recover. It says that they're running. They're out there running to the tomb. And John begins to move out of reaction mode into reflection mode. Now, too many people today do not reflect. We're just running around, getting up, going to work, working, coming back, complaining about the boss. Whatever. And we get up the next day and we do the same thing. And the next day and we do the same thing. And we're not really reflecting. Where am I going with my life? What is God saying? How am I living my life as a Christian in this world? We're just running around. But John, you, the beloved disciple, is starting to move out of reaction mode. Are you following me now? And will you follow me into reflection mode? Now notice what happens. The text says that Peter and the other disciple, that's you, start running to the tomb. They're running. Says they both ran, but the other disciple, that's you, ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. Now, what's going on here? John starts to outrun Peter. You might say, well, maybe he was younger, or maybe he had longer legs. Maybe Peter smoked cigarettes and John didn't. Brothers and sisters, we're missing the point if we think that that's why John is running faster. No, indeed. It says here, I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, and I hope you're going to recognize this passage. It says here, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not be faint. Church, did you hear what's happening? John starts to run, and instead of getting, oh man, I'm getting tired and slowing down, and oh, and then he starts walking, and then he just bends over and starts to huff and puff. No, John starts to run, and he starts to run faster, and he starts to run faster. What's happening? Here it is again. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, what does it mean to hope in the Lord? I'm afraid that we have to rescue this word hope. We tend to use hope today to mean a vague wish. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain. It's probably going to rain, but I kind of hope it doesn't. It's kind of a vague wish. Church, that is not what the Bible means when the Bible uses the word hope. Here's what the Bible means with the word hope. Hope is a vigorous and confident expectation of God's help in attaining eternal life. Are you praying with me? Now, I want to ask you, do you have hope? Do you have confident and vigorous expectation of God's help? You see, those who hope will renew their strength. They will soar as on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Praise the Lord. So John starts to run faster and faster. And guess what? You're John. You're the beloved disciple. If you hope in the Lord, I promise you. Sometimes life gives us strange twists and turns. Someone says, there's been grave robbers. Or someone says, well, we're not going to make the bills this month. Or someone says, we might all be losing our job because the company's going under. And we can all run around in a panic. Or we can look up and say, God's in charge. And we can say, I'm going to hope in the Lord, and I'm going to have a vigorous expectation, and I'm going to run and not grow weary. We can start reflecting. So you see the vision. We're beginning to go out of reaction mode now, and we're becoming more reflective. But we're not there yet, church. We're almost done, but we're not quite there yet. Because we have to go from reaction mode to reflection mode, and then to resurrection mode. You got to think with the resurrection on your mind. And so John is running here, and he's beginning to reflect. Didn't Jesus cast out blindness? Didn't he heal the deaf? Didn't he even raise the dead from the dead to life on several occasions? Wait a minute. Didn't he say on the third day he would rise again? And so John, as he's running, starts to say, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And he's really starting to run now. He's saying, I'm starting to believe. I'm starting to see this whole thing differently. Not grave robbers, but resurrection. What does an open tomb mean? It doesn't just mean grave robbers. It can mean that that tomb burst open and the one who was in came walking out. And John had seen it before with Lazarus. Oh, Lord, there'll be a stench. Tell him to come out. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. John was there. John had seen it. Have you seen the Lord raise people from the dead? You say, well, not me, Father. I've never seen it. Let me ask you again. Have you not seen the Lord raise people from the dead? Have you not seen people come out of addiction into sobriety? Have you not seen... Oh, I'm going to lose the book. That's resurrection. Have you not seen what the Lord can do in people's lives? Amen? Maybe he can help you too. And so it is. John is reflecting. He's growing now in strength. And finally, he comes to resurrection thinking. It says here that as they get to the tomb, Simon Peter went in, and then John went in. And they noticed something very significant. It says that the grave clothes were there. There was no body, but the grave clothes were there. Now, there's two things about the grave clothes I want you to notice. First of all, at the time of Jesus, if someone stole a body, they didn't really want the body. I want you to know they wanted the grave clothes. People got buried, just like today, in their finest threads. They had these nice linen wrappings, and then they had a beautiful, they would have a beautiful burial cloth, some of the finest linen available people would be buried in. And then the finest of the finest linen was used for something called the sudarium, or the face cloth. And the text says, first of all, the grave clothes are there. Well, those are some pretty stupid robbers. They took the body and they left the clothes. That's like running into someone's house and stealing the ashtrays and leaving the gold bars sitting on the shelf, all right? I don't think we're looking at grave robbers, do you? But here's another thing about the grave clothes that the Greek says. It's not so clear in the English. The Greek says that the grave clothes were kamai, which means they were lying outstretched. And the impression that the text gives is that the body was there, wrapped in the grave clothes, and then just the body just disappeared, and the grave clothes just deflated and fell right in place. Did you see that? You know, they're not even unwrapped. How can you get a body out if you haven't even unwrapped these tight linens that they wrap them in? This is not grave robbers. Are you praying? They may be dumb, but they're smart. They can slide a body out with... Well, you see the vision? John is reassessing. He's already come to an understanding of hope and vision. And now, it says here in the text, John looked at this and, pay attention, church, he believed. Did you hear that? He believed. Oh, while he was running, he was starting to gain his strength back, and he was starting to hope in the Lord. But now he sees that Jesus has risen. Now, the text says that, remember, they didn't yet have all these scriptures in their mind that explain why Jesus had to rise. But John just knows. He knows Jesus, and he knows what he's looking at. He saw, and he believed. Now, he's gone to resurrection mode. Something fascinating about this gospel. Did you notice? Don't you expect to come to church on Easter Sunday morning and hear a gospel where Jesus actually appears? But he doesn't, does he? Jesus does not appear in this gospel. But the beloved disciple, that's you, sees the evidence and believes. Now pay attention, church. That's why I've been trying to harp at this idea that it's not about John, you're the beloved disciple. Because, church, Jesus said something about all of us. He said, Thomas demanded to see. Thomas, you're a little slow, and so I'm going to give you a little help here, and I'll show you. Here I am. Look at my wounds, Thomas. But Thomas, I'm only going to give you a B minus. Because you saw and believed. B minus. Maybe C plus. But blessed are those who have not seen, but have believed. A plus. Hello, beloved disciples. Our earthly eyes have not seen Jesus yet. Now, with the eyes of faith, amen. But our earthly eyes have not yet seen him. But church, do you believe? Well, then you get an A plus. Not the C plus or the B minus that Thomas got. The reason the gospel today does not include an appearance of the risen Lord Jesus Christ is because, believers, we've been summoned to ponder the evidence and to begin to adjust our thinking that Jesus Christ is risen, to stop living our life in reaction mode, to start reflecting and to start collecting the evidence that Jesus is risen from the dead. Not by sight, but by faith we know it. Now, what grave clothes? What missing body, what risen body are we looking at? Church, how about the man or the woman in the mirror? I want you to know something. I have not seen Jesus alive with my earthly eyes, but I know he's alive. And I'll tell you why I know he's alive. Because he's ministering to me. He's changing my life. He's bringing me to greater courage. He's bringing me to greater serenity. He's bringing me to greater confidence. The Lord is putting sin to death in my life. He's changing my life. Or am I just alone? Is there another witness in the house that the Lord is changing your life? Now let me ask you a question. Does it pertain to corpses to minister to you? What can a corpse do? nothing but rot. Church, all I know is he's alive because I experience his ministry. I experience him speaking to me. When I pray, I'm heard. When I have needs, he takes care of me, and he's changing my life. He's no corpse. He's alive, and I know it. I'm looking at some grave clothes. The old Charles Pope is dead. He's gone. All I have to look at are some old grave clothes. I've risen with him. Have you risen? How have you risen? Does someone in this church not have a testimony that the Lord's been good to you, that he's been changing your life? Church, I am more alive today at age 48 than I ever was at 28. Because the Lord, see, the grave clothes, the one who rose from the dead, isn't just Jesus, it's Charles Pope. It's me. I've risen from the dead. Have you risen with him? Have you risen from the dead? Church, I have evidence in my life that the Lord is alive, that he's ministering to me, that he's changing my life. And I'm more alive today than I've ever been before because Jesus lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I am alive. I keep so busy praising my Savior, I ain't got time to die. Well, you can't even get me to shut up. I know he's alive because the body, the dead body that was Charles Pope, has risen with Jesus. The grave clothes that used to wrap me in and keep my limbs held tight have been discarded. Now I walk freely. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Oh, it bathed my heart in love. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You've caused me to rise from the dead. I was buried together with you in baptism, and now I've risen. Church, you don't need to look any further for the evidence than your very life. If you're faithful to God, I promise you. I say I promise you brand new life. I promise you a complete transformation. I said if you're faithful. You know, some people want magic. They want to just sort of snap their fingers. It doesn't work that way. You got to take your medicine. I said, you got to take your medicine. You got to pray every day. You got to be in church every Sunday. You got to receive sacraments. And you had darn well better be reading God's word every day. But I promise you, if you're taking your medicine, and I've been taking my medicine for 25 years now, and I'm a changing man. I'm a man who's experiencing brand new life. I'm a witness, but I hope I'm not the only witness in this house, that the Lord is alive and he's ministering to me. Amen, church? Church, because he lives, because God lives, I live. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, my life is worth living. Because the Lord lives, I stand a chance, and I have vigorous, confident expectation and hope that God will see me through. Wait till you see me. You think I'm a mess at 48. Wait till you see me at 88. I'll be with a walker, but I'll be doing the moonwalk backwards, praising the Lord. Get some happy feet with the walker going. He's alive. Are you? Jesus is alive, and he's promising you right now a complete and brand new life. Just make sure you take your medicine and expect great things because Jesus stepped out of the tomb. Amen.